Well, the Holy Spirit gives us unconditional love and tough love in this passage and throughout the Bible when He calls us to follow Jesus. In fact, if you were to look in the Gospels, one time Jesus says, you must be born again. That is, receive Christ into your life. Stop going on your own direction. That's the direction headed to hell and selfishness and destruction. And go with Christ. Ask Him to come into your life. One time Jesus said, you must be born again. 23 times Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. So apparently the Lord knew it was going to be difficult. So He had to say it in 23 different occasions throughout the Gospels. Follow me. And each one of those is a challenge to our soul. And some of the following tough love phrases go along with that directive from the Lord to follow Him. And listen to these and just let them speak to your soul. When I read them, I say, wow, this is like joining the Marines here when the Lord calls us to follow Him. But these are the phrases from God. He says, die to self. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. That was a place where your life was going to be over. The greatest among you shall be servant of all. And Jesus said, you cannot follow me unless you love me more than you love anyone else. So that gets all our relationships under a good, holy relationship with Christ. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. So that push and that invitation to be for Christ. Here's a good one. The world will hate you because of me. You know, the world doesn't hate you because you're ridiculous at times or obnoxious or whatever problem you have. But ultimately, if you're following Christ, that's when you will feel the most resistance in your own soul. If you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for service in Christ's kingdom. And then this one here. Jesus said, I send you like sheep among wolves. I don't know about you, but I always wanted to be a wolf. Right? The stronger one, one who attacked. I like that. Sign me up for that. Jesus said, no, I send you like sheep among wolves. You're going to need the shepherd to win against the wolves in your life. And hearing all those directives from the Lord, if I could say amen to Jessica and Dana's song, we sing to God, I need you, oh, I need you. Because none of us could venture off to following Jesus on our own. Certainly we need His help. So when we hear those things, don't just think about how tough you're called to be or whatever. Just say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you because I cannot do this without you. And when I hear those phrases, I say, wow, can't I just have Jesus and forgiveness and strength and peace? And that's good. And a bunch of Christian friends. How's that? I like that. And not have all those other things. Jesus says, no. If you have me, you have those other things too. You have trouble. But it's a holy trouble. In fact, you have bigger trouble if you don't follow me. So God in His Word constantly calling us to Himself, moving away from our own independent life. In Romans 12, God kicks off the passage here with a credit to Himself. In view of God's mercies, how great the Lord is, how wonderful and loving. Every good thing you've ever experienced in your life came from Christ. In view of His mercies, I urge you. Now, when the Apostle Paul says, I urge you, he's not saying, you know, think about it and consider it and get back to me if it's something you want to do. He says, I really want you to do this. God really wants you to do this. I urge you to present your bodies as sacrifices while you're still living. The best example of that we probably have in our world are soldiers. Living sacrifices. They understand that. You're going to go where you didn't plan on going. You're going to do what you didn't plan on doing. You're going to do it on behalf of others. And you're going to do it because that's God's calling in your life. Onward, Christian soldiers. That's the call to God in our own soul. And we don't say it's easy, but we say we hear the Lord saying that to us. Present our bodies as sacrifices while you're still living. And a part of us says, I'll do it all for Jesus. He did so much for me. There's a gladness in that calling. which we're happy to take. Christians who used to go overseas for various work, some missionary, but some teachers, medical field, when they would do that, Christian congregations used to sing a song to send them off. And the name of the hymn, which is in our hymn book, is So Send I You. So Send I You. Taking from the words of Jesus when Jesus told his followers, look, just like the Father sent me, so I send you. So I send you. I wish he'd changed the title of the song. So I send you. But and originally, the first verse of that hymn read like this. And it was such a challenge that the writer of the hymn, Margaret Clarkson, went back and she added so many other verses, and she actually changed the first verse because she thought, if I tell people that they have to follow Jesus like this, nobody's going to want to do that. Well, Jesus would disagree with her because he would say, well, my people will know my love so strongly, they'll follow me no matter what. Well, here's the first verse that was sung. And you can picture people singing as to you or to the Lord as you're sent this week. So send I you to labor unrewarded. That's the experience of many Christians, to labor unrewarded, to serve unloved, unsought, unknown. Okay. To bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. Why would Margaret write such a song? Was she having a bad day or what? No, she got an accurate picture of how Christ was sent. Certainly, he wasn't sought. He came to seek the lost. He wasn't loved immediately. You know, people had to be won over. He suffered scorn and scoffing. He was unknown, even by his closest followers. And so the message to the body of Christ, at least in that hymn, was, look, are you willing to live your life for Christ, be fairly anonymous out there, you know, not be well-known or famous in any sense of the word, and when you die, hardly anybody, people are going to yawn, not even blink an eye when you're gone. Are you willing to do that to serve Christ? And a lot of these folks who did say, yes, I will, That was their experience. Most of them were not known until they were dead and gone. They rather said, hey, for me to live is Christ. He's worth it. And to die is gain. So that's a tough call in the Christian life, which is hard for us to get a handle of. But it's very much a healthy, good call for you and I to follow the Lord. And we want to say, and I know, for example, no flattery whatsoever, 100 Christians right in the fellowship, serving Christ, pretty unknown, pretty unloved, pretty unsought. Not that they're, you know, nobody loves them, but they go about serving Christ just one day at a time. Even in gathering, I mentioned at the first service, thank the Lord for people who serve when the church gathers. I mean, it's just a bunch of believers. But every week, On Wednesday or Sunday, there's about 50 people serving in some area, saying, how can I help you here? Let's help the children here. Let's change the diaper there. Let's greet this one over here. Let's sing this song over there. You know, we're thankful for those ones. Keep it up so we can come and have a good experience over here. I'm being facetious. But the idea of saying, okay, to serve is great. Anything I could do to be a living sacrifice for Christ, I do it in view of the mercies of God and with a heart of gladness that he wins me over to. You're called to that, and you, just like a good soldier, you'd say, amen, let me do that. Here's a couple applications and a couple true stories for us. As a believer, you're most healthy when you're most committed to Christ and to his people. I call it a local church. That's the street language for it. I urge you, give your life as a sacrifice while you're living. Okay, give up small ambitions and follow the Lord. Dave Ramsey, who's a Christian financial guy, says people come to him, and he sees this at work when people come to him and want to serve in his company. He says he'll get two groups of people. One group of people has a very impressive resume, and that's great. God provided that for them. Went to Harvard, talent, gifted, tremendous extracurricular activities. And so they come and they kind of check it out. And, well, I don't know if I want to be here or not. And I don't know if I, you know, I'm kind of a little bit in that. I don't know if I should work here. Then he has another group of people come in, hungry, okay, thankful, enthusiastic. I'll do anything. Just give me a chance to, I want to work for you. You know, I'm available. And you can count on me. He says he takes the second group any day. Any day. Why? They're willing to sacrificially serve, sacrificially give, sacrificially love. You want this in a spouse, don't you? You don't want a spouse? Well, I married the spouse here because they were very talented and skilled and gifted, and you should see them cook, you know. Whether they're for me or not, they haven't expressed that one too well lately. You say, well, I'm not ready to say I do then to all that. Want somebody who says, hey, for better, for worse. Yeah, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That's I'll listen for that in the soul of a person. The Lord listens for that in our soul when he says, hey, I urge you, be a living sacrifice. And it goes to show you, even in our discipleship, okay, again, not how much you know, but how much you love. Chance to serve in here. When God wanted to save us, He didn't send us a library. Okay, He didn't send us an information center. All those things are good. But He loved at the cross. He says, this is my love demonstrated. And I raised from the dead. And so to take that, that's an example both of salvation and how we would, what were the word Jesus used 23 times? Follow Him. Follow Him. Just put that heart, soul, mind, and strength on the line. And God will work. One, it works out in your local relationships, isn't it true? Paul said, present your body as a living sacrifice. Then right away he moves into how you're doing with other people. Don't think of yourself too highly. You know, you're members of each other and you belong to each other. And so you got a gift and you do things. Wednesday we talked about how everybody is so particularly gifted. There's nobody who has the gifts, background, and experience that you have as a Christian. Nobody has your genetics. Nobody has your experience with Christ. Some have overlap. Yeah, that's good. Nobody has your level of discipleship, being younger or being very experienced. You are put together to strengthen other people. And to put that body as a living sacrifice to God, it's providentially designed. Hey, thank the Lord, He knows what He's doing when He works in your life and my life. And so we're most healthy when we are most committed. Could you give your heart to Jesus like that, a living sacrifice, regularly? I say, give you an honest thing to shoot for. In my own words about following Jesus, I use the word love a lot. I use the word worship, pray, thankfulness, joy, okay, serve. I don't use the word sacrificial very much. I don't use the word follow Jesus very much. I don't use the word die to self very much. I want to change. I want that to be a part of who God called me to be. That's in His word. The other proclamation there, you belong to others. But the second application, when you love sacrificially, God heals others and God heals you. True story about a gal. She was really overwhelmed with anxiety and depression because this hits people regularly in the world full of spiritual warfare and also massive problems around us. So you're going to get anxious and you're going to get down. If you've ever been anxious and down, you say, this is pretty much a normal human being experience. I need God's help. So that's where this gal was at. And so another Christian told her, hey, you know, I'm going to pray with you through this, but what I want you to do, I want you to go out and talk to as many people as possible who are anxious, and I want you to talk to as many people as possible who are depressed. And just listen. And try to love them for a little bit. I know you're full of pain and difficulty, but you try to listen to them and love them, okay, at the time. She said, give it a shot. Sounds dumb, but I'll try. And she started to do that. And pretty soon, she noted that she was being a blessing to other people by loving on them. And pretty soon, she started to feel like God was alleviating her own anxiousness and depression because she was actually serving others. And when you love sacrificially, okay, when you say, how can I go help somebody else? You're gonna say, wait a minute. That pain is not as painful as it was just a week ago, just a month ago. I've seen this in my own life. Sometimes under just difficulties anybody faces. If I go to visit somebody in a hospital or go to a funeral home, I'm just listening to people and kind of showing basic Christian concern. Guess what? I left my problems in the parking lot. Okay? And you could do that. Sacrifice on behalf of others brings healing to others, healing to your own soul that God would use. And Jesus wants to do that through you. Here's a cry in the dark for sure. The love of Christ. Love dares you to care for the people on the edge of the night. That's where we were when Christ came. We were on the edge of hell. Nowhere to go but down. And he came to give his hand for us at the cross. And this song, by the way, was sung by two pagans in a popular song called, hate to mention it, Under Pressure. These two guys, they're about as raunchy as you can get. One died of AIDS. But he said in his testimony, the only love he really got in life was the love of his spouse, that she kind of loved him unconditionally. And so these two guys, you know, they don't know nothing about the Lord. They're crying out for love. Love dares you to care for the people on the edge of the night. They're saying, if there's a God, I hope he loves us because we're going down fast. And if there's any Christians with the love of Christ out there, connect with the people on the edge of the night. And, Jesus loves his church so that the church might love others. And one exciting thing about this, putting your life as a living sacrifice, it is not based on spiritual gifts. It is not based on spiritual maturity, anything like that. It's based on the willingness of your own soul. You can have this life if you're a Christian 1 hour old. Or if you're a Christian walking with the Lord for 90 years, you could say, I could present my life a living sacrifice to God because he's so merciful to me. This is a holy and acceptable thing to do. This helps me walk in God's will. Excuse me. But that's the way the Lord does. And one good fella on Wednesday quoted a song, which we're going to close in prayer with. Take my life a living sacrifice and make my life a living sacrifice. But for somebody who doesn't know Christ, just, hey, know this. In view of God's mercies, receive him. He is so merciful to you. He died in your place so that you might go to heaven. You don't have to go through life alone, just toughing it out and knocking everybody around you and waiting for you to get knocked down by somebody. Let God be your salvation and strength, would you? It'd be a spiritual empty person your whole life. God came to love you when you're on the edge of the night. So you receive him. And if you're a Christian, we say, with the Lord's head, we can help. We continually offer ourselves living sacrifices. You get connected to a bunch of other Christians. Walk following Jesus. Follow him. Let's pray together as his people. Father, we just make our peace with you. And We do this, Father, with dependence on you, just like the song said here. Oh, Lord, I need you. We can't even make a commitment to you that'll stick unless you inspire that, unless you make it right. So this little song sung by a Christian hardly made it to the body of Christ in a regular way. As we pray to you, Jesus, Lord, take my life a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that I can do. Then we pray, Lord, make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Just not impressed by ourselves, by the world, by sin, but very, very overwhelmed with the greatness of who Jesus is. Might that be so for each soul here? Bless us as we walk. Lord, we know it's in the walking that commitments are lived out. But it's in the prayer that commitments begin. So help us in this matter. And thank you for your dear people who have been urging each other to live this way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.